I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, Episode 78, looking back at another first-ever meeting, Hobart and Lemoyne last Saturday, and ahead to the Crouse-Simmons Trophy game Saturday at 5 o'clock, Hobart and SU at the Boz. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
Now that is the offense we've been waiting for. What changed?
I think a consistent message from our offensive coordinator and associate head coach, Stephen Brundage, just continuing to convince these guys of the right way to play and reading between early opportunities and opportunities that need ball movement and more consistency on the perimeter. So, you know, I felt like that was a game where we combined both well, where we attacked early when we could and should, and we also had our most possessions with a pass count that's in our favor, meaning our pass count's above 10, and we're sharing the ball and we're moving the goalie like we always talk about, Ted. So just a well-balanced front overall. And a couple guys putting in some more edge work last week where they're shooting the ball a little bit more accurately, they're shooting overhand, they're shooting in spots that we've deemed good for a goaltender and a scout. So a lot of things just came together for us, and it was a productive day.
We talked going into the broadcast about the shooting accuracy. You were 52% of your shots were going on goal for the season, 66% in this game, and that's when good things start happening. Like you said, move that goalie around, get him hopping, and good things happen.
Yeah, and that guy proved he's a good goalie too, Ted, where, you know, we put the ball to good spots, and he still made great saves, a couple saves in tight. And I think the good part about it was our defense was playing at a higher capacity, and we're facing off pretty well. So, you know, our offense starts to feel like they can take a few chances and they can get their shot saved a little bit as long as they're putting the ball on goal and making sure that guy's making plays instead of us, you know, missing the goal and having to restart that offense. So, all things considered, a huge step in the right direction. And of course, going into this weekend, we play, a better goaltender and a better defense and a better team all around. So hopeful that, and that's one of the main messages we've had this week, is although things will be more challenging this coming Saturday, can we continue to see what's been effective, what's been successful for us, and then execute it against a great team as well?
And Dave Gage during the broadcast used the word fluid to describe the offense, and I thought that was great. Moving well with the ball, moving well without the ball. 15 assists on 20 goals. You talked about pass count, but it's not just number of passes, it's quality. And if you're a shooter, it's fun to set up in front of the net and have the ball wind up in your stick 5 feet out in front.
Sure. And, if you watch a lot of those assists too, Ted, they're very simple passes, and they're not huge skip passes or dumps inside. There are a couple that are like that, but I mean, that's just like you said, the flow of our offense and the minutia that Coach Brundage always talks about is, you know, throwing single passes, ball movement being our best dodger, not making things too complicated, but, you know, moving without the ball, moving into the ball when you're on the perimeter, just so that approaches are adjusted and the defense has to scramble a bit. So the best part about those assists is a lot of them are just single passes. They're just the ball being thrown forward or the ball being thrown to the easy one. And then our guys just shooting the ball properly. So, you know, I think that as things get more complicated in the Syracuse game and league play, we can look back on it, when the ball does move and when it moves effectively, sometimes how easy offense can be.
It's great when you have a guy offensively that you know is going to be involved in five or six goals, or in this case, eight. Anthony Detellis is looking like the Detellis of last year and is really taking over as an offensive leader.
Yes, he is. And still a human being. Had a lousy practice yesterday, so we had to kick him in the butt. But I think taking on some great leadership quality for Coach Brundage. You know, we have three captains that are outstanding. A couple of them are a little bit banged up, so I think Anthony has seen an opening to really have some poise on the field. I think also Alex Rosa, those two counterparts on one side of the goal and the other, I think they have an excellent voice in terms of what we need to do and how we need to do it. But you know, he's also putting the ball into the net. He's seeing the field, taking a few chances here and there when necessary, and also calming us down. I mean, you'll see some times, Ted, where he looks at the sideline where the ball's at the other end, and he just kind of asks me, he's like, hey, can we get a timeout? And when we get the ball, and I'll either say yes or no, depending on the circumstances of the game. But, you know, he's just thinking plays ahead, and that's what great offensive players do. So very proud of the strides he's made. We're very anxious that very anxious to see his work continue, and to make sure that as we go into this Cuse game in A-10 play, he's playing his best.
Talked about Alex Rosa. He doesn't have to get his hands free. He just has to get them behind his back.
Yeah, those are two pretty clever plays. I think to his point, and Ted, we've talked about him a lot, and we mentioned this to the team. From a hard work standpoint and a sacrifice standpoint, I'm not sure we have many that do more than Alex Rosa. And the last couple of games, his product has been fairly mediocre. And so we challenged him last week and said, not so much to, hey, go play well. It was, hey, buddy, look at the weeks that you put in and look at the hours that you put in and the time and the effort. There is no reason to not cash in on a game day. So I'm very proud of the way he played and the energy that he played with. If you see, I think he has four goals on the day and some excellent finishes, but he also rides like an animal and picks up a ton of ground balls and does all things Alex Rosa does from an end-to-end standpoint. So proud of the game he played, and again, need him to continue along that path.
I've never seen the scheme that LeMoyne ran before. You told us about it last week, that they would essentially invite you to clear, get their subs in, and invite you to beat them 6-on-6. So what was the plan to handle that 6-on-6 defense?
Well, it was first that, where are the areas that we can attack it early? And, we got a couple easy goals, a couple transition goals. We talked a lot about how we wanted to play early in a possession and, who was still on the field, if they had offensive players still playing and da-da-da-da-da. So we had to find a way to create some turnovers in a ride and to attack that goal because, the reverse of their ride is they're clear and they substitute all their defensive personnel off and their offensive personnel on. So if you can create a few turnovers there and attack the goal, you're in pretty good shape. So we found a few openings there. And then, the latter part of it was all we talked about to begin this podcast is, are we going to move the ball? Are we going to move the ball effectively? Is the perimeter stick work going to be on point? And all that good stuff. So we felt like we had some Dodgers that could beat their defensemen and can beat some short sticks, but we had to make sure that they did so in the landscape of our team offense. And I thought from a balance of early attacking at the right times, and then, like I said before, settling into that 6-on-6 offense, I thought our guys did a pretty good job.
We've talked in the past about how the new emphasis on contact to the head really wasn't being called that much last year and early this year. Now they're starting to call it, and you see how it can turn a game. They picked up a 2-minute contact to the head. I think you scored 3 times on it, and 5 for 5 with the man up.
Yeah. Man up was great. Man down was great. Those specialty spots did a good job. I think, Ted, we're still fighting the differences in these calls game to game and week to week. What's accepted, what isn't, what's a crease dive, what's a push, there's been 2 games in a row where, if you go back to the Albany game, Troy has an underneath move and gets pushed into the crease and his goal counts. And then is the goal mouth involved? Who knows? And then the same thing happens to Troy in the fourth quarter. And he dives and he's in the crease. So, and the same thing happened with Chris Patterson in this game. It was one was a goal and one wasn't, which were virtually the same exact play. So, I don't know what the hell's going on. I mean, I'm talking to the refs throughout the game and they don't know what the hell's going on half the time. There are rules that just need to change. And I think, or find a way for them to be more consistent, really. And then from a hitting standpoint, it's hard to find a hit or anybody on the ground that doesn't result in a play on scenario or a penalty these days. So we have a couple hits where guys are leading with their shoulder, doing what we've asked them to do and putting the shoulder in the chest, avoiding the head, all that stuff. And they still tend to get called. I mean, there's a simple play where Nolan Firth clears the crease for us at the end of the game, and it's called a cross check where, you know, we just don't see those things, or we don't see it the way the refs do, which has always been the problem, right? But so we got to find a way to be physical, man. We got to find a way to continue to impact a shooter or an off-ball cut or a guy that's trying to remove the ball from our goalie stick. We've got to be physical in those moments and then, you know, be hopeful that a ref can communicate to us what he sees as legal and what he sees as not. So, I mean, you talked, case in point, Ted, you talked at you watched the Syracuse Delaware game a week ago. There looks like a pretty good hit on number 22 with a shoulder, and he sells it dramatically where the other team has a 3-minute or 2-minute non-releasable, and Syracuse scores 3 man up goals in that stint and kind of makes that game a little bit out of reach for Delaware. So hopeful that those things won't happen to us in the near future and we can find a way to continue to stay physical, but it's a challenge for sure.
You like to talk about the bone plays, the real effort plays, and I just thought we were seeing those all game long. Even when you'd give up the ball and your guys would refuse to let it happen, they'd just go trail check somebody. Nolan Firth played a great game, I thought, as always. Brady Camella and Brooks Rhine, a couple of the young guys, I thought, were just real strong, not giving up on the play and going after the ball.
Yeah, absolutely, Ted. You know, I think the focus on the in-between is something that needs to remain here. And, you know, when we start this gig out, you know, a lot of our defensemen or offensive players are very focused on, you know, is it covering the ball? Is it making sure the off-ball positioning's in good shape? And, you know, that part to the whole teach that we do. And even offensively, how am I dodging and squaring my shoulders, the stick work, the shooting, you know. So sometimes as you start the season, you lose sight of the in-between and how effective it is and what, you know, what pursuit of possession of the ball really looks like. And in the games that we've won, we've been great at it. In the games that we've lost, we haven't. So we're going to challenge our guys to against Syracuse this week, a big, fast, and strong opponent, which we haven't been great against this year. We're going to challenge them to play in that same capacity and to find that gray area and find that in-between and give us an edge there.
When you're a goalie, you have to have a short memory. Ellis Wilson played, I thought, decently, but not great in the first half, but then just really turned it on and shut the door in the second half as you pulled away.
Yeah, playing steady ball. And I think the one thing that we like about Ellis, in addition to the saves that he's making, is his stick work is improving tremendously. And he's seeing the field well. I think he's distributing the ball well in the clear and putting the ball on the money, you know, which is something to a complete goaltender that you really like. So, you know, proud of the straight strides he's made over the past couple of games. And as you know, Ted, you play Syracuse, you're going to need him to step up.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because we made the same observation during the broadcast. Is a couple of his passes were just brilliant, and I want to say I think it was Brady Camella threw about a 65-yard one-hop pass down the field on a clear right into his teammate's stick. So I thought there was great, even though they weren't riding heavily, there was great vision of the field by everybody.
Yes, I think so. You know, where Coach Fish is putting these guys in a lot of good places, you know, early in the week and throughout the week, and all our stick work, we want to make sure that the stick work drills we do, some of them are about repetition, but the majority of them revolve around how to balance our clear, what your looks are in the clear, and how to finish a defensive possession, either off the ground or from a save. So we've expanded a bit, and as you said, Ted, they didn't ride us, you know, but clearing the ball 100% on the day is good no matter what. You know, those are that means we're picking the ball up, we're throwing accurate passes, and we're doing things that you need to do in order to be effective in a game. So proud of our guys, and 100% clearing something that we strive for every single day.
And it was great in the late going. You got to get some guys on that don't play as much, and two guys picked up first career goals.
Yeah, you get Jack Schleicher on a goal. Who's the other one? Who am I missing?
Oh boy, I think
Max
Snellenberg. Yeah, I think Snellenberg.
Yeah, Max's goal is just a kind of a microcosm of everything going our way. You know, that's the way the game was. It was a low shot clock. The ball trickles through. We save the ball over the midline. I think he shot that ball from about 20 yards out, and somehow it bounced off someone's stick and went in the goal. So very happy for Max, and he's capable of scoring much more efficient goals than that. But, yeah, and Jack Schleicher, I think – Ted, you see a quick spark there, but he's a guy that we think is going to be an excellent ball player for us here. He's putting in his time and doing his work, but glad that he got to get on the field a little bit. He's been making excellent strides at improvement throughout the course of this year. So you're going to hopefully hear his name a lot throughout the next couple of weeks and years to come.
The first Saturday game against Syracuse at the Boz, and I can't remember when, 5 o'clock this Saturday. Krause-Simmons Trophy, do the guys educate each other? Do you give a little speech during the week on Krause and Simmons and what this is all about?
Yeah. We usually we save that for the Thursday, Friday kind of pre-practice meetings, and you know, make sure our guys understand that. I think it's very easy to neglect tradition when you're competing. You know, as simple as that sounds, but you know, our guys want to go beat Syracuse, right? And so and I love that, but at the same time, we have to recognize how many times this game's been played, regardless of what this record has looked like over the past 20 years or so, which has been heavily in Syracuse's favor, and we understand that. But it's also just an awesome opportunity and such a cool thing to be a part of, where you know there are two coaches as respected as Babe Krause and Roy Simmons that fostered programs, built them from almost the ground up, or continued a tradition, whatever, however you want to look at it, put these programs in an established place where for at least one game of the year, you can think back, have a deep respect for those that came before you, and then put an effort out on the field that represents all the sacrifices that a tradition-based program has made. So it's just a cool thing to be a part of, Ted. It really is. And you know, we get Babe Krause in the IMLCA Hall of Fame a year ago, and they talk a lot about this rivalry. We've got film of the 1987 game or even games before that where, you know, Cuse is the number one team in the country, Division I, and Hobart's the number one team in the country, Division III, and they go at it on Boswell Field, and Hobart gets an awesome victory. So there's just so many things you can look at, point to, and reflect on. And we're proud to be a part of this thing and angling this week at making sure we put our best foot forward to make others very proud as well.
Another legendary name in this game is Gary Gate, one of the great offensive players of all time. What does he bring to the table as a head coach?
I think poise. Really, I mean, you know, a very stoic demeanor. It's impressive to see how little up and down he has on the sideline. You know, there's a couple times where, you know, you see Coach Raymond bugging out and you know, maybe getting after a player to provide a little bit more effort and this and that. I mean, he is kind of unfazable, really. I mean, his assistants are going bonkers a little bit over there, but he stays even keel, and I think it shows in the way, specifically the way they play offense. You know, there aren't too many guys on that offensive end that are not in a good place emotionally and very confident and you know, doing things from a next play standpoint where a previous mistake or a previous success doesn't really matter much to them. So I think they compete the way that their head coach did and with a clear mind and a clear heart, and they just kind of go at this thing. So you know, I think I respect Gary a lot. I know him well and think he's doing a great job. So you know, just again, very excited and proud that I get to compete against them.
You never want to be in awe of an opponent. I know you weren't, but when I look at the numbers, I mean, Spallina 57 points, and Hiltz has 34, and Mule has 27, and 70% of their shots go on goal. How do you slow this offense down?
Yeah, you know, I'd be lying if I said we had an exact answer, but, you know, Coach Fish is going to have our guys very ready to defend this team. I think we're you know, we're looking at the points across the board here. They're impressive, man. I think they'd be comparable to, you know, from a execution and a consistency standpoint, they'd be comparable to any team in the country. Just, I mean, they're facing off at 64%. One of their faceoff guys has 79 ground balls. The other one has 37. The thing that I'm most impressed with, Ted, is their ability to pick the ball up, honestly. You know, not just those faceoff guys, but they have a few defensemen that are always on it. But Joey Spolina's also has 20 ground balls. You know, that's a pretty effective season for a lot of people. And, you know, Owen Hiltz has 14. You know, Finn Thompson has 17 ground balls. Jake Stevens has 15 ground balls. So that's where they're great. Their production is awesome, and they have awesome sticks, and they move the ball better than any team in the country. But when the ball's on the ground, they are just so crafty and opportunistic at getting the ball back in their stick and then attacking the goal off of that. So the one thing we've got to make sure we do is limit those second chance opportunities, either on a failed clear, or on a shot save, a rebound, a ground ball in front of the goal. Those things have got to be limited. And we also got to prevent scoring from a face-off scenario. We got to make sure that the field's cut in half as much as possible. And we're playing this team 6-on-6 because while they don't push transition like crazy, Ted, they are excellent in it. So we've just got to make sure that we're not giving them easy opportunities, and they've got to earn everything that they get. But our guys are going to compete hard, man. They know what they're up against and are thankful for the opportunity and are going to go at this thing the way they've been taught, just like underdogs.
After having gotten 20 goals and handled LeMoyne, do you feel like the guys are looser now, that they'll be maybe just kind of playing with house money in this game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they should be. There's no reason to play otherwise, you know. So this is a game that would have excellent bearing on a postseason or an RPI standing for us, and one that would hurt them a ton. So that's an awesome scenario to have. I think the way that we handled LeMoyne last week has put us in a position where we're feeling pretty good. And we're also on spring break, so the routine has changed here this week, and we're kind of getting guys out of an element of a little bit of distraction here and there, whatever it may be. It's different for them to be in class all day than it is to sit around and put their feet up all day, but it's rest that we need. So lots of factors go into this thing that should keep us loose and should give us a clear mind to play this game the way that we feel like we can. And so at the end of the day, we're playing human beings, Ted. These guys aren't from a different planet. They're just good lacrosse players. So as I was taught way back when, the best team doesn't always win. The team that plays the best wins. So we're going to do our very best effort to make sure we play better than them.
Are you sure that Will Mark's not from another planet?
Actually, he might be. But last time he was on this field, we scored 21 on him. So our guys are looking forward to that type of effort again.
All right, Coach, I don't know if I'm going to be there. I'm off to chase the hockey pucks this weekend. If Hobart's going for a national championship, we'll be certainly listening in. And I wish you the best of luck against the Q's.
Appreciate it, Ted. And good luck to Hobart hockey. Go get another one, guys.
This has been the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode number 78. Don't forget you can get this podcast and all our athletic podcasts wherever you get them, Apple, Google, Spotify, you name it, and get all your official athletics information on HWS Sports at hwsathletics.com. Go Hobart against the Q's, and until next week, have a great lacrosse week.